Here again this evening to worship the Lord together. We're thankful for this day the Lord has made and all the ways He's blessed us. We're thankful because we did not have this day guaranteed to us yesterday, and so we're blessed to just be able to assemble here and worship together and have this opportunity. Before we begin our lesson tonight, let's go to our Father in prayer. Lord, we're thankful for this evening. We're thankful for life. We're thankful for love. And we're thankful for your Son who came to this earth and died for us. We know that without his sacrifice, without the blood that he shed, that we would be dead in our sins and we would have that guilt upon us and be condemned. But because he washed away our sins with his blood, we can now have eternal life. And we're thankful for that free gift of salvation that is available through him. We know that there are many tonight who are not with us because they're not feeling well. Some are traveling, and we pray that your hand be upon them. We are thankful for your word, the Bible, that we can open tonight and study and pray that the things that we see will penetrate our hearts and minds so that we can become more like Christ in the few days that we have here on this earth. We pray for every person here tonight. We pray for every family that's represented, and pray that they have the courage to withstand the schemes of the devil, that they'll do what's right and live a life that pleases you. We know that we fall short so many times in this life when we sin, so we pray for your forgiveness and mercy and grace. It's in your Son's name we pray. Amen. Tonight we are discussing an issue of pain, and we said this morning that I wrote about it in the bulletin this morning, on the back of the bulletin, one of the articles on this subject, and we'll talk about some of those things and expand on them tonight a little bit in discussing a very serious topic, because it's a topic that everyone experiences. This little girl's named Ashlyn Blocker, and she has what's called CIPA, which is congenital insensitivity to pain with anhidrosis. There are about 300 people on earth who have what she has. She has it because her parents were carriers of this, and the gene mutated, and she became present in her life. What it is an inability to feel pain. When she was just a little baby, she fell and scratched her eye very badly, and the parents saw it happen and picked her up, took her to the doctor. And she had a very serious scratch on her cornea, but they noticed on the way to the hospital and at the hospital, she wasn't crying. Her eye was swelling. Her eye was black and blue. They had to do things to get the swelling down and got some drops to put on her eye and put these drops right onto her eye on this scratched cornea. And the doctor said any person, baby, adult, otherwise, would be in intense pain, and she was laughing and kicking, and it had no effect. She cannot feel any pain. She can feel hunger. She can touch and feel things, but she cannot feel anything that is pain. She has this extremely rare condition where she can't feel it, which makes for a very dangerous life. You'll notice in this picture, you probably can't tell in that picture, but her left eye is a little bit dark from an injury. Her hands are wrapped from an injury that she had that was noticed later. Her mother said that one time she even put her hand on the stove and burned her hand and was playing, ran off the other room playing. Her mother looked down and huge blisters on her hand from where she had burned it on the stove. It didn't faze her. She cannot feel any pain. Somebody would say, well, that's a great life. That's the life I want to have, where you do not feel any pain. Have this pain-free existence. You never stub your toe when the lights go out in the middle of the night. Fall on the playground, break your arm, doesn't feel it. Boy, what a great way to live. And her parents would disagree with you. Her parents saying this is really a horrible disease to have. Her mother, Tara Blocker, said some people would say that's a good thing, but no, it's not. Pain's there for a reason. It lets your body know something's wrong and it needs to be fixed. I'd give anything for her to feel pain. And we never think of pain, physical pain, as a blessing, but it really is. It's simply our nervous system saying, pay attention to this. this is not working right. This has been damaged. And without the pain, we don't notice the damage, and it could kill us. Something very minor could kill us. And this is the case with Ashley Blocker. She's now about 16 years old, and she has managed to live a very healthy, productive life, although having to be extremely careful of doing things and leaving injuries unaddressed. It's good that we feel pain. It's good that we feel physical pain. It's also good that we feel other types of pain. The Bible assumes that you will live pain in this life. There will be pain. And we go all the way back to the beginning of the Bible where we see the origin of pain. In the first chapter of the book of Genesis, we see the origin of the stars and the sun and all the things that God made. And we also see the creation of man. He says, we're going to make man differently than we made everything else. We're going to make man in our image. We're going to give him a soul. We're going to make man eternal. And he will rule over all of creation. He's going to be different. And we know that this perfect environment that was created was violated when Eve and then her husband said, we're going to do what Satan wants us to do. And when sin entered the world, pain entered the world. And we see that very plainly in Genesis chapter 3 what God said about this, about the pain that would exist now in this world because of sin that was committed. The Lord God said to the serpent, because you have done this, cursed are you more than all the cattle, more than every beast of the field. On your belly you will go, and dust you will eat all the days of your life. And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise you on the head, and you shall bruise him on the heel. To the woman he said, I will greatly multiply your pain in childbirth, and pain you will bring forth children. Yet your desire will be for your husband, and he will rule over you. Then to Adam he said, because you have listened to the voice of your wife, and have eaten from the tree about which I commanded you, saying, you shall not eat from it. Cursed is the ground because of you. In toil you will eat of it all the days of your life. Both thorns and thistles it shall grow for you. You will eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your face you will eat bread. Till you return to the ground, because from it you were taken. For you are dust, and to dust you shall return. Notice there God mentioning pain. The woman will experience more pain. The man will experience pain. Sin brings pain. Sin brings trouble. It's always been the case since the very beginning when pain was first introduced in the world. And every person on earth has experienced some level of pain. We've all gone through these types of pains, and these are the ones that we mentioned this morning in the bulletin. We've all experienced physical pain to some extent. We are unlike Ashlyn Blocker. When we cut, we bleed, we know it. We experience pain. We also know some people in their physical pain who have lost their faith. Others who have not. John Temple spoke here one time and talked about when he was working in a convenience store and a man robbed the store and shot him in the back with a sawed-off shotgun. And he's never been able to walk very well ever since, and spent months in the hospital, went through all of that, those things he talked about. And the man is a preacher today over in West Nashville and a great faithful man. Some people have physical pain and they leave the Lord because they say, God gave me this pain. God gave me pain. Well, the Bible doesn't say God gave you pain. Go back and read the first two chapters of Genesis. And you see what God gave the world. You see the way God wanted things to be. But when sin entered the world, God said, now there's pain in the world because there's separation between you and God. We're all going to experience physical pain. What are we going to do with it? Job, of course, was this great example of somebody who was going to feel a lot of pain. He was going to feel physical pain, and he also felt emotional pain, something that all of us go through as well. Every single person in this life has experienced emotional pain. We have cried. We have lost loved ones. We have lost jobs. We have pursued a goal that didn't come to fruition. We've had things taken from us. We have our emotions challenged every single day in some way. And again, it's a test of our faith. Will you stay with the Lord in the midst of great emotional pain? Some people have not. Some people have left the Lord saying, I feel this pain because God gave me this pain, and if he loved me, he would protect me from pain. He would let me live an exceptional life, an exception to everyone else's life. I could be able to live over in the corner of the world and not experience everything else others experience. I should not have to succumb to any sort of disease. I should not have to experience any pain in this life because God loves me, and he ought to love me in a way he does not love everyone else who experiences those things. It sounds foolish to say out loud, but there are some people who live their life that way and think God should consider them that way. And of course, spiritual pain. 2 Corinthians talks about that. Paul said that there are some who have a godly sorrow when they consider the sins they have committed. Not just a regular type of I got caught sorrow, but a real sorrow that he said leads to repentance. They read the Bible and they say, this is what God said about this certain thing that I have done. This is not God's will that I do this. And I experience a great amount of pain right now. And that sorrow is going to lead to repentance. And that's what every person should do. Everyone should repent of the sins they commit and say, I want to make every effort to change those things, like we looked at last Sunday morning in the sermon about, even if it's a small part of you, if it's a 10% of you, even if it's like a hand on the body, Jesus said you cut off the hand, you remove it from you, do whatever it takes to protect your soul from hell. Every person in this world has experienced physical pain. Everyone has experienced emotional pain. Everyone has experienced that pain that comes from violating God's will, at least for the Christian. There's a great thing that Aristotle once said about pain in life. He said, the aim of the wise is not to secure pleasure, but to avoid pain. The more you think about that, the more true it is, or at least you think, you know, there's a lot of truth in that. There's a lot of people saying, the wise saying, I want to pursue pleasure. Isn't that exactly what Solomon said? We believe to be Solomon who wrote the book of Ecclesiastes in chapter 2. He said, I pursued everything this world has to offer. I bought vineyards, I bought slaves, I bought everything that money could buy because I had all the money to buy anything money could buy. And he said, that was sort of a fruitless task. He said it still wasn't satisfying. It still didn't last. Actually, what it bought was an amount of pain, an amount of regret for doing that. And we know what Paul told Timothy in a very famous verse in 1 Timothy chapter 6, but the love of money is the root of all sorts of evil, and some, by longing for it, have wandered away from the faith. What's the last phrase in that verse, and have pierced themselves with many griefs. In an effort to secure pleasure, they found pain. They have had this obsession with money, and all it brought was a great deal of pain, and some have even wandered away from the faith. They have lost their faith in their pursuit of money. So it really is the wise person who says, I'm not going to put myself in a situation to cause myself physical pain. How many people now who are racked with addictions are living a painful life every day trying to get over that addiction? A real, honest to goodness, pain, physical pain. Because they thought they were trying to reach this ultimate pleasure. How many people have put themselves in those situations that have caused themselves pain physically? How many people have pursued the wrong people in life to marry, the wrong people to have as friends, the wrong people to work with, and all of a sudden they woke up one day and said, I've been betrayed, I feel terrible, these things have happened to me. Why? Because they invited bad people into their lives, and now they have emotional pain. And all of those, both of those things can end up creating a great deal of spiritual pain. So some people said, I'm going to find pleasure in this life. I'm going to secure pleasure, and they end up with pain. He said, really, the wise person says, I'm going to avoid pain. I'm going to avoid the things that are just going to ultimately bring pain. You say, well, how do we know on the front end if something's going to bring me pain? Well, just look around. Look at the lives of other people. See what had happened when that other person did it. And Solomon was teaching us, saying, look, I did that. I've already been down that road. I tried to buy everything I could buy. I tried to use everything that was in the world to use. And it didn't work. And you don't have as much money as I have. So don't do what I did. I've already tried that. But what did he say at the end of that book? When he summarized that book? The conclusion of the whole matter is this. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. He said, that's how I can put a bow on this whole experiment that I've been going through. The best life, the life that has the least amount of pain, not pain-free, but the least, is one that is faithful. What are our biblical responsibilities in dealing with pain? Well, the Bible teaches us that we need to absorb the pain of others. The word for that, of course, is compassion. That people should not experience pain on their own. Even the people that make the foolish decisions, even the people that have those physical pains because of addictions and things they shouldn't have been involved in, even the people who, however they may find themselves, if someone is experiencing pain, we should have compassion. We've said before, the Greek word for compassion, that is translated into compassion, that Greek word means gut feeling. Hopefully you have cultivated a godly heart to where when you see somebody in pain, it hits you in the stomach. That's exactly what was said of the Good Samaritan. It says he went by down the road and he saw the man on the side of the road and he felt compassion. He felt a gut feeling that the other religious people that walked by that day did not feel. Will you have that gut feeling for someone else's pain? Are you willing to absorb that pain? We know Romans 12:15, we rejoice with those who rejoice. And that's the fun part, that's the easy part. That's something we don't really have to be commanded to do. If somebody's having a good time, we want to have a good time with them. But then he said, we weep with those who weep. And that's a little more difficult to do because those aren't the fun times. And that's not where you want to be. That's not where you want to go, is to be beside the person who's hurting, the person who's crying, the person who's having a hard time. But we have a dual responsibility, not just to be with people when they're doing well, but to be with them when they are hurting. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, in verses 6 and 7, but if we are afflicted, it is for your comfort and salvation. For if we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which is effective in the patient enduring of the same sufferings, which we also suffer. And our hope for you is firmly grounded, knowing that as you are sharers of our sufferings, so also you are sharers of our comfort. The Apostle Paul, a man who heard the voice of the Lord on the way to Damascus, a man who has traveled the world as a missionary and was beaten and shipwrecked and imprisoned and all those things that happened to him, he said, we are all in the same boat when it comes to pain. We are living through this life together. And he said, when I hurt, you hurt. And when you hurt, that helps my suffering. I am comforted because of that. He did not turn his nose up on everyone else and say, well, I hurt more than you do, and you'll never understand what I'm going through. People say that these days. You don't understand. You don't know. There's nothing you can do for me. You don't know what I'm experiencing and so on. Yes, we live different lives and we experience different things. But hurt is hurt, and pain is pain. It doesn't matter how much money you have and where you live. what your past has been, we are all going to hurt in some way at some time. And Paul said, we absorb that pain from others, and therefore we can be comforted. We also give to those who need support. We talked about the Good Samaritan. The Good Samaritan said, I'm not just going to look at this person and say, well, I hope you get better. I want to put him on the animal, I'm going to take him to the inn, I'm going to pay the bill and any other expenses he might have. I'm going to make this person's life better because they're experiencing pain. And he didn't say, I have all the money in the world, and so I'm going to give it to him. He didn't say, I'm rich, so therefore I have extra money. There's no statement Jesus made about the Good Samaritan's economic situation. He just said the man had a gut feeling and said, here's what I can do to help relieve your pain. Which is exactly what James said in James chapter 2, where he gave a more detailed, really, explanation of the Good Samaritan when he said, don't just look at somebody and pat them on the back and say, I hope you get everything. But be active in their lives and say, here's what I can do to help. You give to those who need support. You absorb it, you feel it, but then you also are active in taking care of that in any way that you can. There are remedies to pain in the Bible. Since we're all going to experience pain to some extent, in some way, the Bible says that is a given, and here's what you do about it. I'm going to bless you in a lot of ways in the way to deal with pain. God did not look down at the world and say, just get over it, you're on your own. There's nothing that you're going to get from me. Paul wrote to the Thessalonians, he said, pray without ceasing. Doesn't mean every minute of every day that we pray, that we should pray. We know that would be impossible. It would be impossible to live out all the other commands of the Bible if that was what Paul meant in that verse. He simply meant that all the time we pray, that nothing is unworthy of prayer, that we pray about everything. He also said that in Philippians chapter 4. We pray about everything. Everything is worthy of prayer, that there's no time in our life when we say, well, I'm out of the praying business for a while, that we pray without ceasing. He also said in Galatians chapter 6 that we should be involved in godly fellowship. The first three verses of Galatians 6, he said, if any of you is caught in any trespass or sin, your translation might say, to those of you who are faithful, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness. When somebody comes in your assembly, part of the church, and they say, I have sinned, this is what I've done, he says, you do not push that person aside, you don't wag your finger at them, you don't say, hey, there's a speck in your eye, why I have this log in my eye, you say, we're going to restore you. And yes, that includes prayer, but it can include any other thing that would help that person have a better relationship with the Lord. When you're experiencing pain, you pray all the time about that. You dedicate yourself to godly fellowship. Jesus said in Luke 13:3, unless you repent, you'll all likewise perish. The prodigal son found himself in a situation where he was in pain. He said, I've wasted all the money, which is what prodigal means, the wasteful son. I've wasted everything that my father gave me, and I'm experiencing a great deal of pain in this life now, and the only way this pain is going to be resolved is to go back. It's to go back home. Some people sin in their life, and they experience the pain that comes from it, and they don't ever turn around. And they just keep pursuing going down the same direction that led them to the pain, and they keep wondering why things haven't improved. The Bible word is repent. You turn around. Sometimes we have pain because we sin, and we have to go back. We have to change that situation. Philippians chapter 4, Paul said that we have to be thankful. Thanksgiving is a great remedy for pain. That we can be absorbed too much, we spend too much of our attention on the pain, and sometimes we need to step back and say, how has God blessed me in this life, or today, or whatever the case may be? In what ways have I been blessed? I'm almost obsessing about all the bad things that are happening to me and all the negative things in my life. That's what I'm focusing on. So what can I be thankful for? Paul said that in Philippians 4, in verses 6 and 7, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, not pain from God, the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. The Bible also says that we have to change our minds to help us with pain. Very next verse, Paul says we're going to pray about everything. We're going to be thankful in everything. We're going to have the peace of God come into our lives that surpasses really anything you can explain. And then he says, finally, brethren, whatever is true, honorable, right, pure, lovely, of good reputation, if there is any excellence, and if anything worthy of praise, dwell on these things. Your verse may say, think on these things. Change what you're thinking about. Now, yes, if you're in a situation that is a time of repentance and you need to turn around, if you find yourself in the hospital due to pain, and you're having pain because of a foolish decision that you made, you can't just change your mind and walk out of the hospital. You still have to deal with the situation. We know that. But it is a tremendous relief that we have in times of emotional pain, particularly. We just change our minds and think of something else. Paul says, why would Paul say that? Why would he tell us to do that if there were no benefit, if it didn't work? Paul wrote the book of Philippians from a jail. So I think that it worked for him to think all the good things, to change your mind and have that be a great relief, a great lift of those burdens. And finally, the last biblical remedy is to look up. Colossians chapter 3, the first two verses. Now that you've been raised up with Christ, keep seeking things that are above. Set your mind on heavenly things. Set your mind on things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Always look up. You keep a horizontal perspective of life, you will be miserable. You will be miserable every single day of your life. Why? Because all you're doing is looking at all the pain. Because this world is full of it. Have you watched the news lately? If we keep a horizontal view of life, we just look out at what is here and around us, we will be miserable. It will not be the life that God wants us to have. Why would Paul say, Colossians chapter 3, now that you've been raised up with Christ, clearly an analogy to becoming a Christian, clearly an analogy to being baptized, now that you're a Christian, now that your sins have been washed away, now that you're this new creation, this new child of God, keep looking up. Have a vertical perspective on life. When you think about heaven, when you think about the joys of heaven, when you think about all the spiritual blessings that we have, it's really hard to be miserable. Because you're not dwelling on those pains anymore. We will all experience physical pain, emotional pain, spiritual pain. It's just the life that we live in. It is life on this earth. We've all done it. But the Bible gives us the remedies. The Bible says, I am with you, God says. I am never going to leave you. The more you love, the more you're going to hurt. Remember that. I mean, Jesus loved the world. Jesus came to die for the world. And he experienced an incredible amount of pain in that love. So even though you may love, you will experience hurt. The more faith you have, the more pain you will have. Did Jesus not say that we should every day take up our cross and follow him? We've never seen somebody carry a cross because we don't live in that world anymore where people are crucified and were scourged, beaten within an inch of their life, and then have to carry a cross, the cross beam, not the entire cross. They carry the cross beam part. We haven't seen somebody do that, but you've read enough about it, you know enough about it to know that it is incredible pain. The more faithful someone is, more outspoken in their faith, more evangelistic they are, all of that thing. Jesus said, you're going to face pain with that. You will be persecuted. He mentioned persecution within the first 10 verses of the Sermon on the Mount. He assumed that you will be persecuted for having faith. So somebody says, I have all the love in the world. Why do I feel pain? Because that comes with it. I have all the faith in the world. I love the Lord. How come I have pain? Well, that comes with it. The Bible says so. But the good thing about it is that you can make it. The last book of the Bible, the book of Revelation, if it says anything, and the part that anyone can understand in the book of Revelation is, even in the midst of incredible persecution, that when everything is said and done, when everything is settled, when this world doesn't exist anymore, you are going to have relief. And what you will have as a Christian is an incredible, indescribable amount of joy. You will win. The pain will not last forever. If you reject Christ, the pain will last forever. Really just a question of how long you want to have the pain. Romans chapter 8, beginning verse 35. Who will separate us from the love of Christ? Now he lists all the imaginable pain that someone could experience in the first century. Will tribulation, will distress, will persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? There is nothing more he could have named that someone in that world could experience more pain. That is the most pain he could list. Just as it is written, for your sake we are being put to death all day long, we were considered as sheep to be slaughtered, but in all these things we overwhelmingly conquer through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, again, he's starting a list here of every imaginable thing that exists. I'm convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing. He throws that in the end, just in case I left anything out. Nor any other created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Whatever pain you experience in this life, never look up and say, you did this to me. You look up and you say, I love you too. You just have to look up and say, I love you too. Because he doesn't stop loving us. You may be experiencing a level of pain tonight. You may be hurting in some way. We'd love to pray for you, pray with you about that. Try to help you. Try to absorb some of that pain and bear your burden. Try to help you in any way that we can. If there's someone who needs to become a Christian tonight, be baptized for the forgiveness of their sins, we'd love to do that for you tonight as well. Whatever need that you might have, please come now while we stand and sing together.